Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, gambling, rock, paper, scissors. Also, kids will go hungry. And the legislature expands Don't Say Gay.
Too swishy?
Let me give you an image. It's a cliche, but it's an image. John Wayne.
Oh, God.
Too swishy? Have a little Joan Wayne. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Boone, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Well, we are getting towards the end of the end. You know, there's
thank God.
Just a few days left. And
thank God.
You know, people will be able to look back on the carnage that was. You know, this past week, this session has been a lot about sex. They are very concerned about sex. And I was mentioning to somebody the other day that there's a lot of these people that really get so concerned about sex either look like they've never had any or like they're, you know, just some weird.
That they've got some kids in the basement or something. Yeah.
Anyway, but that aside, they passed an extended version of Don't Say Gay. We couldn't say gay in elementary school, and now we can't say gay in middle school. They wanted to make it all the way through high school. But see, because they don't understand that 13, 14, 15-year-olds, they don't need you to tell them about gay. Mm-hmm. They don't need you to tell them about sex.
No.
They need you to give them proper instruction about it. But rather than do that, we're just going to say, we're not going to talk about it.
You know, the idea here is to discuss it with children, you know, so that they understand what's going on or understand what a word means. If you just sweep it under the rug over here, it just makes them more curious.
Right. I mean, I had the fortune of escaping public schools early on. And we actually went to a school that had a sex education course that was taught by the dean of boys. Mm-hmm. And then they had the dean of girls teach sex education class. And we were not ill-informed. The things that our peers had told us that were not true or that were dangerous, we did not learn those things. We learned the proper things. But Josh, here, we want to control what's being said, what's being taught, and we're really putting a gag order on teachers.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the fear of adults of actually having a conversation with kids is really... it's really striking. I mean, because that's what this all is, you know. I mean, this is them trying to avoid a tough conversation, them trying to avoid having a realistic conversation with kids, with avoiding, you know, having their kids learn proper sex education at whatever age. And you know, it's also trying to ignore the realities of the world.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. I don't, you know, we have a six-year-old. And she has asked us already about whether or not girls can marry girls and boys can marry boys. And you know, these are natural curiosities of kids. And I don't know what goes on in other people's families, but, you know, for us, it's just, well, yeah, you know, it just depends on who you love and you know, we'll expand upon that as she gets a little older. And because... What kind of world are we preparing her for if we're not doing that? And these sorts of bills and these things that are happening, they're leaving a whole generation of kids just ill-prepared for the world that they're going to go out into one day.
Well, it's almost as if they are trying to make it go away by not talking about it. Right. If you put it over here in a box,
sure,
then maybe that box will just kind of disappear in the garage, you know, like so many things that you can't find anymore.
It's like your great aunt and her girlfriend. Well, they call her great aunt, her roommate.
Yes,
you know, roommate. Her best friend from college.
Right, exactly.
You know? I mean, I had one of those great aunts, you know, they were old maids.
That's what they call those old maids. Old maids and confirmed bachelors, right?
Honestly, it's almost like they feel icky about a conversation or whatever, or that makes them uncomfortable. And so they don't like to think about having the conversation or someone else even having the conversation with their kids about this stuff. And I don't understand what they're so fearful of. I mean, because honestly, if you talk to the kids, they're not afraid of any of these things.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure a group of middle schoolers could do a hell of a lot better job at this subject than they have.
I'm pretty sure they have. But, you know, on the one hand, we are so concerned in the legislature about what we can and cannot teach children. But what we're not concerned about, what they're not concerned about, is feeding them, Susan.
Right. There is an opportunity for an EBT program to exist during the summer for children who depend on school lunches to be able to eat. Okay. We're talking about 500,000 children in Alabama. That's one in four children. Now, that what we're talking about is as simple as a $15 million investment.
By the state.
By the state, which the feds will come in and foot the bills for the program for these children to be able to eat this summer. Now, it'll generate around $100 million. Now, if you take into account the fact that just last month we were arguing about $33 million for Birmingham Southern College to bail out a failing private school, and we're talking about not feeding children. All right. And on top of that, you know, you're worried about thus don't say gay. You're worried about protecting them in the library, but you don't want to feed a hungry child? What's wrong with you?
I mean,
what is wrong with this?
It is just unconscionable. You know, when we asked Governor Kay Ivey's office about why they didn't fund it in 2024, she said, her office said that the legislature, it was an oversight and they did not fund the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, man, honestly, this is the same group of lawmakers that just took $100 million out of the education budget for public schools to give to rich families to send their kids to private schools. Okay. For $7,000, they're going to give them $7,000 if you make up to $93,000 a year right now. But we're going to expand that later on down the line. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about the discrepancies and the privilege and the racism and the classism that takes place in this state. This right here, where we can't find a few million dollars to feed hungry kids over the summer, but we can find all the money in the world for economic incentives and for giving rich people a tax break and for sending rich kids to private schools, all of that stuff. Birmingham Southern College, we wanted to give $30 million to. It's all of that. That's what frustrates the hell out of people. Okay.
And this is why nobody believes them when they talk about Christian values or cherishing life. Nobody believes them except the Rubes and the Stooges, because they don't value life. They do not follow principles of the teachings of Jesus, because they won't feed the hungry. Mm-hmm. They won't clothe the poor. Mm-hmm. They just don't give a damn. No. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for React today and protect your home.
Protect your home with React. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I wish we could do what we're getting ready to do every week.
It would be fun.
What we're going to do in this segment is we're going to talk about the smartest politician of the week. And then we're going to talk about the dumbest politician of the week. The reason we can't do this every week is because we can't find 52 smart politicians.
Hell, I'm surprised we found one.
Well, I'm just saying for the week. I'm not saying
that
this happens all the time. Just saying it happens for the week. What happened? You know, they passed this bill, Senate Bill 129, that says you can no longer have government funding any DEI initiatives. Well, that 18, 14, 19, 20, 21 bunch of frauds over there called Craig Ford.
That was her first
and
study.
And they said, well, aren't you going to have to get rid of your DEI person? Because Craig Ford is the mayor of Gadsden, mm-hmm. former legislator. Mm-hmm. He's the mayor of Gadsden. He's the first one who installed in Gadsden a DEI officer. And they called him up and said, you know, you're not going to be able to have that because of this law. He said, let me paraphrase Rhett Butler. Frankly, I don't give a damn about that law. And Craig then went on to explain to him that DEI in Gadsden means helping disabled veterans, mm-hmm. helping poor children, mm-hmm. helping people that are underprivileged, that is helping people in the community. And he said, any lawmaker wants to challenge me on this, tell them to bring their butt up to Etowah County, come to Gadsden, and I'll have the cameras rolling.
Yes, he did. And he means it, too. Do not underestimate Craig Ford, because he will absolutely do it. He will stand up and always has stood up for the people in his community, whether he was in Montgomery as a legislator or whether he's here as the mayor of Gadsden. He is going to stand with the people. He's always done that. He always will. And like I told him, I said, just invite him on up, oh boy. You know, tell him come on up here to Etowah County. We'll show him how it's done. There's no problem with that.
I mean, Josh, the fact that a sitting mayor of a larger city here mm-hmm. would dare go on and tell them to basically, I don't care what your law says. It doesn't apply to me. So get out of my face.
Yeah, it's good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, can you imagine the job of having to call around and ask, are you going to have to get rid of your DEI person? Honestly, this whole charade of the anti-DEI things, because most of them are exactly what Craig Ford said about the position in Gadsden.
Yeah.
They are people who only are there to try to help and ensure that underprivileged and underserved people get an opportunity that they would not ordinarily have gotten, or that they would at least get the recognition and the opportunity to have a job or recognition that they would not normally get. And the fact that you're trying to fight these things, nobody is actually trying to fight it on the ground with these people and arguing against what they do.
And the one of the interesting parts of this is that actually these calls are coming from this 18-19 news, mm-hmm. which is the biggest phony piece of supposed news mm-hmm. in this state. They have received around $4 million in hidden donations to prop up this far right regime. And you know, who gives you $4 million to spew this kind of hate and propaganda? If they were really proud of it, they would release their names. But they didn't intimidate Craig Ford. They do intimidate a bunch of Republicans down in Montgomery, and that's
absolutely
the whole idea.
That's one of the reasons Craig got out of Montgomery.
That's the whole idea, Josh, is to intimidate these numpties down there who do not have peaches. You know, that's what it's all about.
It's the really funny thing is that the guys that are intimidated by it are the only ones reading it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, too.
It's true.
You know, it just is, it's really off-putting And it's not just 1819. There's a lot of other, it's all, you know, API, and there's some other, other organizations out there as well. It's really off-putting the amount of money that there is for hatefulness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we just talked, we just had a segment about not feeding kids over the summer. And for the amount of money, basically, you know, about, you know, a little more than that, we could have fed probably half the kids with what they've paid for this sort of hatefulness.
Yeah.
We could have fed kids over the summer.
I mean,
and this is what you chose to do with that money.
These people have given almost $1 million to that idiot Phil Williams.
I know. And it doesn't show.
Who left Montgomery under a cloud of being indicted.
Yeah. We know, because we're the one that provided the AG information.
Got to get to the one here, the dumbest politician of the week.
Also from Etowah County.
Mac Butler. Representative Mac Butler is the dumbest politician of the week. There he is with Mike Lindell, one of the dumbest people in America. This guy lost a fortune based on a lot. But Mac Butler is the sponsor of the expansion of the Don't Say Gay. Mm-hmm. And here's what he said. He said, this bill is about parents' rights. And he said, I quote, they want the math teacher teaching math and the English teacher teaching English, not telling Johnny that he is really a girl.
What does he think this is? They have a class in there that is like a conversion camp to keep people from being gay. They're actually going to, teachers are going to draw the children in, sit them down one at a time and say, I'm sorry, Johnny, you're not a boy. You're really, does he really think this? I mean, how stupid do you have to be?
Josh, the ignorance here is just, it's unfathomable how stupid you have to be to make that statement.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think where what the intent for a lot of these bills is that they want the teachers in school to be as hateful as they are about this. You know, I think that's what the intent here is. It's not so much that they are concerned that they're sitting little Johnny down and telling little Johnny that he's a girl, because that's, everybody knows, even the far right crazies like Mike Butler know that that's not really happening.
No.
But what they're also not doing is they're not sitting little Johnny down and saying, hey, you know, your gay classmate, he's wrong and he's going to hell for that.
Yeah.
All right. And so they're teaching acceptance, and they're teaching being cordial and friendly and nice and accepting to one another. And that's what they can't stand.
Yeah.
That's what they fear more than anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's sad. Mac Butler is actually a decent human being.
He is. I've known Mac Butler for a long time.
And he's not as stupid as he portrays himself to be with this kind of thing. But this is just embarrassing for himself, for his family.
And for the people he represents here in Etowah County, thank you.
He should be ashamed of himself. But there you go. Craig Ford, smartest politician of the week. Mac Butler, dumb. All right. You're watching The V. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
125. As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We have a thing in the United States called the Constitution. And while most people acknowledge that it exists, few politicians want to acknowledge what it says, unless it suits their purposes. Now, right before the primary runoff, Caroline Dobson, who is now the Republican nominee for Congressional District 2, was in a debate with Dick Brubaker, who lost that race. And she said that her idea was to close the border to Mexico and to deport all illegal aliens, as she referred to them, all illegals, and their children who were born here in the United States. Susan, there's a problem with that because under the 14th Amendment, anyone is what it says, anyone naturalized or born in the United States is a citizen of the United States or in the state in which they reside. Very clear, very simple, anyone. But Caroline Dobbs thought that this should not be true. And there are many Republicans who have wanted to do away with birthright citizenship, and they don't even understand where it came from.
It came post-slavery, because they were trying to figure out how to make former slaves actual citizens. Well, their parents weren't born here, maybe, but they were born here. And that was how they defined that in the 14th Amendment. Now, I don't know if she's ever read the Constitution, but it's pretty clear, like you said, anyone. That means anybody born here, including myself. You know, if you could deport me because I'm a daughter of immigrants, you know, way back several generations.
Yeah.
But heck, that would apply to me.
But Josh, these talking points, these hateful talking points, are no more than just that. Because the Heritage Foundation says that the 14th Amendment doesn't mean what it says. But, you know, you can always argue that people, you know, but since the Civil War was ended and the 14th Amendment passed, there's been no question. Mm-hmm. They have questioned this about three or four times. Every time the Supreme Court has said, if you're born here, you're a citizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I heard what you said about the Constitution and that a lot of people either don't read it or they only use it when it fits their needs. And I can't help but notice that they also treat the Bible that way as well.
That's true.
Yes.
Caroline Dobson is not a stupid person.
No,
she went to Harvard Law. Went to Harvard, graduated from Baylor Law School. She's read the Constitution. She knows what it says. She's saying these awful things to get votes from awful people. Because I can't help but notice that no one has a problem with any white immigrant who's born here becoming, born to white immigrants being a citizen. Mm-hmm. But what we have a huge problem with are all these poor people who walk, most of them, this story here and this broad generalization that I'm about to make pretty much fits 95% of the people who are arriving at our border, all right, seeking asylum. They have traveled hundreds, if not thousands of miles. By walking and riding on buses and by whatever means, they are carrying with them their children and all of their worldly possessions because they are fearful for their lives and fearful for their children's lives and their futures. And they are seeking desperately to have some hope for their future. And they show up into America only wanting to work for what they earn. And take only what they can earn from us. They don't want anything from you. I know we give them things to make sure that they're comfortable and whatnot, but that's what we do because we've based a lot of our laws on the Christian faith, from what I understand. And if you've read the book, they're pretty explicit about what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that.
You mean like feed people, clothe people, give people shelter when you can?
Well, you know, this thing.
Good Samaritan kind of. Yeah.
They could have settled this thing this year in Congress. They could have done a lot of great fixes on the border. The problem is that big business does not want to close the border because they need the workers.
Of course.
The Republicans don't want to close the border because then they would have no issue to run on.
Yeah, they ran out of the abortion issue.
Well, again, if you fix the problem, you can't point to the problem and say, I'll fix it. They have not seriously addressed the problem of migrants in this country since Ronald Reagan was president, in which he granted immunity to some 13 million people who were here undocumented because he knew there was no way to solve the problem.
Right.
Other than, and the people in big business and construction and and service industry, they all want cheap labor. And these people are willing to be cheap labor so that their children can be teachers and doctors and lawyers. Mm-hmm. They're going to work hard so their children have a better future.
And they fuel our economy.
Yeah.
You know, without these migrant workers, our economy would be crap.
Yep. Well, I want to get to this next subject, and we left it to last because it's the most confusing mess I've ever seen. Josh, I think you referred to this gaming situation as rock, paper, scissors. You know, we go into a casino, and instead of the one-armed bandits or the card games, they got rock, paper, scissors for money. And that's what we're facing here with the gambling bill, right?
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's the bill that we had before. I don't know if anybody really knows exactly where things are at this particular point in this negotiation for this thing. But yeah, we left out of the House with a really good bill. We got to the Senate. They stripped everything out and basically wanted to give us the casinos from the off-strip places from Vegas Vacation that Chevy Chase went to, where they were betting on rock, paper, scissors, and the other stuff. And so I don't really know where we're back to now. I think there is some hope there that maybe we can get some things straightened out. But what we've got is really kind of pointless in the Senate bill. And honestly, I don't know if I wouldn't be for just scrapping the thing if that's what they're going to come out with instead of doing the right thing and actually giving us the stuff that the people want and pay for healthcare expansion and college scholarships and some of the other things that we can do with the casinos that we're going to have.
Yeah. And the problem is the only reason we do not have a decent gaming bill right now is because of special interests like the Alabama Policy Institute and Alpha Insurance have joined forces with the illegal gamblers. I'm not saying they're directly working with them, but they have the same track as the illegal gamblers in the state and the out-of-state gamblers. You know, they want to all keep this bill from going through. Last word, Susan.
Yeah, they do, because there's too much money in it for them.
Yep, too much money in it. Let the people vote. Anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.